but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
It will be Oregon against Indiana. 5-0 against 5-0. ESPN College Game Day on the scene in Eugene. Big football game. It's like a time warp thing. If you'd just been coming out of a coma and somebody told you, huge game, Big Ten Conference between Indiana and Oregon, you'd be like, what? But that's what it is. And it'll be the Indiana passing attack, or will it be, against the Oregon defense. Chris Hampton coaches the defensive backs for the University of Oregon. He's also the co-defensive coordinator. He was also senior class president in his high school. Chris Hampton joining us now. I got to know first, let's start with the election. What kind of election was that?
Yeah, I was nominated by my senior class of Memphis, Tennessee, Melrose High. They voted for me. I think if I remember correctly, they had like a vote and I was nominated.
What is it, a friendly competition? Do you remember who you were running against, or, you know?
Oh, yeah, I do remember. I ran against a girl named Chrissy Hampton. We're not related, same last name. Her name's Chrissy. Yeah, because she's still kind of upset that she didn't win. And she campaigned, and I didn't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she has not let me forget about that 20 years later.
Yeah, yes. I bet the Chris Hampton campaign was probably like, I'm Chris Hampton.
I put my name up there, and that was it. There was no posters.
Yeah,
there was nothing like that. And she had them, and I won. Yeah.
Was it important to you to win that, or did you feel once you got nominated that why was that important to you?
No, it kind of was. You know, I took pride in it. You know, I remember one of the deals was that we wanted a senior trip. Because the classes before us didn't take a senior trip.
Yeah.
And so that was one of our class goals, was if we could have a senior trip, we had to have good behavior and somebody had to plan it. And so we took a senior trip to Orlando, Florida.
Love
but
that.
And then I had to do the class reunion.
Yeah.
10 years later.
Oh, wow.
So that was a lot of work.
Yeah.
10 years later that I didn't know would come up, but
yeah,
that
was fine as well. You probably didn't count on that. You were signing up to be in charge of the reunion.
Correct.
When you went to South Carolina, you pursued a degree in criminal justice. What were you thinking?
All right. So I started off political science, and I was thinking I wanted to go to law school. Mm. And after about a year in school, I realized I don't think I want to do that. I want to coach. Mm. And honestly, I had took some classes in criminal justice, and I liked it, and I wouldn't lose my hours. So I just went to criminal justice and realized that, hey, you could coach with any degree.
Yeah.
So that's why I really ended up going to criminal justice. I started out political science, had some criminology classes I had took, and I wouldn't lose them, so I just went with it.
There's some human behavior in coaching. There's human behavior in criminal science. You know, you're understanding people, aren't you?
Yes, definitely. It's a lot of carryover. You know, how the human mind works. You know, can you get guys to perform at a certain level? A little bit of can you psych them out? You know, a little bit of psychology in it. You know, a lot of psychology in it, honestly, in coaching. When they're not doing well, how can you get them to perform well? How can you motivate guys? How can you get them over the hump? You know, a lot of obstacles they go through in life, and you know, get them to where they want to go to.
You go back to your college time, you know, you started 2 years as a safety at South Carolina. What did you get, playing at that time for the coaching staff you were playing for?
I got some tough love, I think, at times. You know, back then, you know, coaches were, you know, probably a little bit harder than they are now. You know, there wasn't any portal. You didn't have to worry about anything like that. But the coaching was hard. But I think I learned some really valuable lessons, you know, about being accountable, you know, being a good teammate, you know, doing things right. And there's a lot of things in football, you know, schematically that I learned in that still carries over today.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You come in, Lou Holtz is the coach, right? And then by the time you leave,
correct,
it's Steve Spurrier. So you get,
correct,
like, these are big personalities.
Yes, yes, and complete different, too, as well. But, yeah, with two legendary coaches, you know, Holtz was more of, I think guys feared him. Mm-hmm. You know, the staff at times, it seemed like they feared him. You know, he was hard-nosed, gritty, tough. We're going to be the toughest team, you know, to take the field each and every week. Spurrier was not that way.
Yeah.
He was more of a charismatic personality, but he was disciplined in a different way that you had to do things right. Or, you know, he would take your playing time, or he would, you know, punish you in another way. So it was, you know, it was just black and white, what you had to do with him, but it wasn't as much fear factor, if that makes sense.
We're talking to Chris Hampton, co-defensive coordinator at Oregon and in charge of the secondary. That back end, you guys lost a lot last year, and I know everybody was looking and going, hey, how's that going to be on the back end of the defense? How have you felt about the early part of the season with these guys?
You know, so far, I think we performed, you know, pretty solid. You know, we've got to do it again this week. You know, I think this is going to be our toughest challenge to date going against Indiana. But, yeah, we lost a lot of guys last year. We've had a lot of young guys step up. You know, you look at Aaron Flowers, Kingston Lopa, Peyton Woodyard, you know, Brandon Finney, Ify Obidewu, a lot of guys, some new guys that came in as true freshmen, some guys that redshirted last year or didn't play as much, didn't step up. And then we've had a couple of valuable transfers, you know, with Dylan, Jaden Kennedy, and Darren Johnson. Gave us some great minutes and a lot of production.
Chris, when you're recruiting or evaluating a young DB kid coming out of high school, obviously you look at the athletic part, but what are you looking for between the ears? What's the mentality that you like to see?
Yeah, you want to see a guy that loves football. If he's infatuated with the process, which is, you know, sometimes you have to dig deep to find that, you know, these days, you know, that to make sure this guy's going to love the grind, he's going to embrace it, that he wants to play football for the reasons that you want to play football, that he loves to compete. He loves the competition. He wants to win. So that's what you're really looking for between the ears, a guy that's motivated intrinsically, and he wants to be great.
You were down at South Carolina, Tulane, Duke, McNeese State, Central Arkansas. Had you ever been to Eugene, the Pacific Northwest?
No.
What did you think of that? It must have been like going to the moon.
It was completely different. You know, I'd never lived on the West Coast in my life. You know, I never really thought it would happen, you know, and, you know, out of nowhere, I kind of got a call from Coach Lanning. We had a couple conversations, and I was off to Oregon. I remember I told my mom I was going here, and she was like, where is that at? It's by Canada.
I love that. I love that. I've had people who live in like the western part of the United States. They go, what time zone is it in? I'm like, it's in the same time zone as California. What are you talking about? Time zone. What was different, or maybe, you know, maybe was it just as you expected it, or when you got out to Eugene, when you looked around, you were, you know, what surprised you?
The hospitality. I think that was a little bit different. That there was still great people that lived out here, and how hospitable everyone has been. Since I've been living out here, it's been great.
I mean, you were class president. Dan Lanning was class president. I mean, do we have any other class presidents on the coaching staff? I mean, this can't be accidental. It's a leadership thing.
I don't know. You know, it's a leadership, right? You're a coach, you're a leader. So, you know, it kind of happened naturally, I guess.
Chris Hampton with us. All right. Indiana, you look at their offense. They obviously got a QB that everybody's talking about. But what are they doing schematically to put pressure on defenses?
A lot of RPOs, you know, run pass options. They do a great job of running the football. If I'm not mistaken, I think they lead the Big Ten in rushing right now. So that's one of the things that they do. I know Mendoza's playing at a high level, but they're very efficient. You know, they're going to run the football, you know, hit you with some RPOs, hit you with a play action pass. But you have to be able to stop the run against these guys. I think first and foremost, it's not allowed them to establish a running game. If you want to be successful.
Yeah, I'm looking at the tape of that Illinois game. They rushed for, you know, 300 yards or so, and it was commanded the game, and it just makes everything so easy when you can do that. All right, the emotion of the Penn State game, what did that feel like for you being part of that in, you know, the locker room afterwards, the plane ride home? I want to look back just a little bit before we look forward, but you know, what was that like for you?
You know, it was great to see the guys have the success, you know, of all the work we put in. You know, leading them to that game, you know, some of the stuff that we did in the offseason of self-scout, some things that hurt us from the last time we played them. You know, we had did a lot of, you know, advanced prep on those guys. And that was just fantastic to see the guys win in that type of environment. That was a great environment, you know, whiteout. We came out victorious, and so I was really just happy to see the players have the success that they did and come away with a victory.
Yeah, in the game-ending play, the interception to end it, as that play is unfolding, are you watching it unfold, or what's going through your mind as that route, the motion, everything is unfolding, and you watch your guy get in position and make a play?
Yeah, you know, we talked about it on the sidelines, kind of crazy, that we thought, hey, be alert for that play. And I know Dylan said that, you know, hey, be alert for this route. They had shown it on film. It was one of their staple plays, basically, and they ran it, you know, and he made a great play on it, you know, and intercepted it. But we had talked about it previously, didn't know exactly how they would build the play. You know, mm-hmm. It's the same play, but a different motion, you know, a different dress up from time to time. That's what happens. And so as you saw it unfolding, like, oh, there it goes, and bam, he intercepted it.
That's got to be a good feeling as a coach, because, you know.
Oh, great feeling. Yeah. Great feeling. You know, a lot of times you know, on the sideline, you kind of see the play happen. Like, oh, the man, he missed it, you know, but he was waiting on it. And so he executed perfectly and made a big-time play.
What do you get being on the sideline that you don't get if you're up in the box?
Just the interaction with the players. You're able to look them in the eyes, see their body language, you know, see who's up, who's down. Just kind of a little bit of that, you know, and now you have the iPad on the sideline, so you can watch the previous plays. I think they started that last season, so you can recap the game with the guys in real time.
You didn't have that with Lou Holtz and Steve Spurrier, did you?
No, you did not. You didn't have that till you went back in the film room and got in trouble.
Yeah, like it would be like a day later, and you know, you'd be going, here's how I saw it, and then you look at the tape and you go, oh wait, yeah. You're right. You know, they were outside the hash, or, you know, oh no, I wasn't quite in the right spot. And so the advantage of having that in real time is, I guess it's better for players. Is it like, how does that affect you as a coach on the sideline? Because you have to be ready to
look on it
right now, correct right now.
Immediately. Yeah. So you can give immediate feedback. You get the iPad, you look at it, you can tag plays, like save plays that you want to come back to at halftime or whatever. And you could talk about, you know, another call versus that play, like how we're going to defend this play if we're in this defense compared to the defense that we're currently running. So you're able to make adjustments quickly based off that iPad.
All right. I want to have you look a little bit back in your career. You were at Tulane. You know, you spent time there and obviously helped Tulane become, you know, they're a power in the American. And I'm trying to figure out how this all fits together in the world of college football. You're at the top of it right now at Oregon. You guys are playing for, you know, a playoff berth and a championship. But schools in that group of five, group of six, you know, can you speak to a little bit of the mentality difference when you go from like a Tulane to an Oregon? And is it just resources? I mean, you still had great players there. You had guys like, you know, Perry Nickerson there at Tulane. You had great players, but what's the difference really?
Yeah, I think it's the resources, right? And it's the guys that you can recruit out of high school. You know, there's a lot of guys on this team. If I was at Tulane, when I went in their school, they went and talked to me. You know, but when you go in and you have the Oregon brand, you got Alton Stadium, you know, everything that they know about the University of Oregon, a traditional powerhouse, or you're able to just recruit a little bit better. You're able to get a better athlete out of high school. Whereas at Tulane, sometimes you have to just uncover the hidden gem, you know, and do a little bit of development. It may be a guy that's playing quarterback, and you're going to have to, you know, project that he can be a DB in college. Or it may be a guy that's playing tight end, and you say, okay, he's going to grow into an offensive tackle. You know, so that's just really, I think, the biggest difference is the projection. Whereas here we can go look at the best high school players in the country and say, okay, I want to get him. And you have a realistic chance of getting him because of the power of the L.
Man, you've got, you know, you arrive on campus, everybody's buzzing. Guy from Oregon's here. You know, he's here
to work out. So. It's different when you walk into school with Oregon on your chest.
Yeah.
All the kids want to shake your hand. Yep.
All right, Chris Hampton, before I let you go, do you watch the CSI crime shows? Is the criminal element still in you? Are you trying to figure
out? I have never seen it. No,
you don't watch it. So you're not into it. Is there a career in law enforcement for you after football, or is it just football all the way?
No. It's just football. Hopefully football as long as I can do it. All right. I think my law enforcement days are over at the University of South Carolina.
There you go. All right, Chris Hampton, good to get to know you a little bit. Thanks for making time. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, John.
All right. Take care. All right, there he goes, Chris Hampton. He is co-defensive coordinator, defensive backs coach at the University of Oregon. I love that little thing of, you know, hey, guys that didn't want to talk with me when I was there recruiting on behalf of Tulane. Now, you know, you got different guys who are like, hey, Oregon's here. I'll talk to you. Good stuff, Chris Hampton. They'll be up against an Indiana offense that really everybody talks about the quarterback, but when Indiana has been at its best this season, it's because the Hoosiers run the football. Leave it here. You got the Bald-Faced Truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network.